to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
Steve Shanko.
Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. It is Friday, the 7th day of July. This is 06, folks. I still can't believe we're halfway through the year. At any rate, today I've got Steve Shank on, and I've wanted to do this for quite some time because everybody talks about, what do I need to do in case of emergency? What do I need to have? What's the bare minimum? You know, I don't want to spend money I don't have on things that I won't use. And, well, the list of questions, I can hearken back to 1999. And, well, that was over Y2K. You know, by February of 99, all was quiet because all the banks out there redid their programming, their computers, their mainframes. They did the update. What they were really concerned about was they didn't care if traffic lights went out. They didn't care if oil wells stopped pumping oil. That wasn't a big deal. What the big deal was, oh, that's right, if people went to the bank to withdraw their funds just for a day or so, you know, to make sure that the bank didn't crash and their money got lost. Because they couldn't afford one thing, and that's a run on the banks. That's right. That's what that whole thing was all about. So by February of 99, they were telling everybody, everything is going to be fine. You know, don't worry. There were myriads of questions, you know, all the what-ifs. Well, the what-ifs didn't come true. The banks didn't have to give all that money out. You remember hearing that they printed up millions in reserves just for folks if they wanted to come and make some cash withdrawals. Well, they did everything, and they had 10 months through the 99 year to tell everybody everything was okay. And there wasn't the subsequent run on the banks. That would have destroyed the banking industry, or more importantly, would have exposed it for what it is, the fractionalized reserve system. So the threats are still there, folks. You know, I'm not a threat monger, but I can tell you one thing. I am prepared for just about any eventuality. Over the years, I've collected the bullets and the beans and the Bibles and all the associated stuff to go along with it. You know, I will survive short of being hit, say at ground zero, by a nuclear weapon. I will survive it. I've got all the pertinent stuff, all the protection measures. I've got the 24 or 48-hour boogie bag, the gas mask, the chem suits. I could literally almost drive through hell to get out of town. So is it important that people are still prepared? I don't even think about preparedness anymore because I am. That's one of the wonderful things about it. When you know that you could face just about any eventuality, you're really not that concerned about it. That's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today, and I know people will have questions about it, stuff that you want to know. So we'll get to our guest today, Mr. Steve Shank, and we will have a conversation about really what preparedness is supposed to be and how it would fit your needs and what money you have to spend and where. I mean, you can go to the nth degree. I saw it happen many times during Y2K. People spent tens of thousands of dollars, and they didn't have to use their stuff. Not then, anyhow.
Access.
Elysium, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allan. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allan takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allan.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we are back. It is Friday. Second hour, I'll do some stories, open up the phone lines, get the flavor of what is on your mind. But first, I've wanted to do this for quite some time, just to have a casual conversation about preparedness, because it's something, like I said, I don't worry about it because I'm prepared. I never think about it. And the only time I'm going to think about it, if the emergency arises, and I'm going to have in the goodie closet what I'm going to need, exactly what I'm going to need, no more, no less, in order to survive any eventuality. And I don't spend a whole lot of time sitting around chewing my fingers thinking about it. It's just there when I need it. If you don't want to be scared, folks, be prepared. Can't control everything else around you, but you can sure make the compensating move to make sure that you give yourself the best edge in protecting yourself against any eventuality. I mean, take a look at these people. Here's a classic example. Wasn't the government with FEMA and Homeland Security and, well, all the people that were there for preparedness and all the states' organizations, oh, yes, you know, biological weapons may go off. Oh, we got plans. Well, a hurricane hits and people are sitting on bridges dying. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It just exposed the fraud against what FEMA and the great Homeland Security, the Chertoff boys and company, were really all about. It's not about you, the individual. Do you think for 1 minute that they care about your survivability. Look what they've done with the rest of the country. Look what they've done with the economics. Look what they've done in business. Look what they're doing with NAFTA and the expanded NAFTA, the free trade area of America. Do you think they care about you? Do they care about you? They've left, what, 40 million illegals in this country and trying desperately a way to figure out how to keep the cheap labor here? I mean, think about this, folks. Now, they've given you the Federal Reserve System, all with that nasty thing. Well, it's a nice system except for one thing. It's got inflation attached to it, and it causes problems from time to time. But don't worry. Your government's here to help you. Well, they've helped lose about 96% of the value of a dollar. And, by the way, that little thing they call inflation is actually devaluation. And of course, that's not good enough. We've got to open up the floodgates for just giving a helping hand to everybody. So, therefore, we're going to get into the business of retirement benefits and Medicaid and Medicare and, well, just a sundry list of various entitlements, being born in America, that you're entitled to. I'm entitled to one thing, to lead my life as free and easy as I can without interruption of a government and not being taxed out of my socks to take care of other people around my country, and especially the illegals that are here right now. But that's another subject. I have with me today, very glad to have him, I have Steve Shank. Are you there, Steve?
I am, John. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, sir. How you doing?
Oh, just running like a one-armed paper hanger in a windstorm, I guess.
You know, I've wanted to do this because I've never had an opportunity just to sit back and just have a casual conversation about preparedness. Now, you know this, Y2K. I had visited a lot of the Mormon facilities around the country. It wasn't well known, Steve, but I knew it at the time. I knew it at the time. I'm getting music in my ear there, guy. There we go. How's come the first day you're on the board, you don't make any mistakes, and the second day you do? We're breaking in a new board operator here. But at any rate,
it's a good thing.
It was nice music, though. I mean, I hated interrupted. But I noticed during 99 what a lot of people weren't aware of, the public in general, that the Mormons, well, they had their own warehouses. They were doing stored foods. Members of the Mormon church could come down and do canning, and there was like a co-op that were buying stuff. And, well, they were prepared during 99, but little known was that the Mormon hierarchy was telling everybody, well, just in case, you better get some guns and better get some ammunition. I mean, this organization impressed me because they were prepared for about any eventuality. I mean, just about anyone.
Well, they're an interesting people. One of the things that's interesting to me is your comments earlier when you were going through all of the entitlements and everything.
Yeah.
One of the things that people don't realize, you've heard the old story of cooking frogs, haven't you, John?
Oh, absolutely. Many times.
Well, these guys know how to cook the frogs, and what's happening, all of these entitlements, all of these gifts and giveaways and things where they're taking from some to give to others, is creating tremendous dependency. It creates dependency on the part of those who are receiving, and it creates bondage on the part of those who are taken from in order to pay for those who are receiving. Because in order to live, in order to maintain their lifestyle, they end up with higher and higher indebtedness. And so the two things that literally control the population, the bondage of indebtedness, and also the fact that that all of these people who are receiving the gift, the welfare mentality, as it were, become more and more dependent that way. What you've got is the issue of the only way that we can maintain our liberty is to be absolutely independent as possible. And that's exactly what you were talking about when you started out this discussion, mm-hmm. when you said that I don't have to fear. The whole idea, even though a lot of people call folks like you and me and any of the others that are screaming and hollering as the voices screaming in the wilderness about what's going on in the country and that we need to be concerned about it, they call us fearmongers. The fact is, the way to be fearless is to get yourself in a situation where you aren't dependent on anybody, including the boys in Washington.
Well, the only thing I've depended on them to do is to further erode the freedoms, liberties, economic opportunities, and just the general welfare of the country. That's what I depend on them every single day to do, is to erode that.
Yeah. Well, and people oftentimes that aren't completely following this, that haven't followed it as long as, for example, you have, and some of the folks that have been the voices for a reason throughout the last 20 or 30 years, they say, well, why on earth do these guys do this? Why do they want to do that? Well, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Why do you think they do, John?
Is that a rhetorical question, or do you already have the answer?
Well, I pretty much already have the answer, but I like some of the ways that you express what's going on, and I thought that that would be a great venue from which to talk about preparedness, because if you understand what the plan is, as you have so often and very eloquently expressed it, if you understand what the plan is, it's better and easier to understand how you need to prepare for it.
Well, that's what this whole exercise is about. It's informing people the information that they need to know. And if they've got the information, and if they've got two brain cells that can synapse and talk to each other, it's not too hard to figure out. Some of the reasons, like, say, for instance, storing food. I mentioned Katrina. Now, supposedly, this was an act of God, and I do believe that it was aided by weather modification, but we won't go there. But let's just call that category of unseasonable or unfavorable weather conditions, and that could be hurricanes, that could be the erratic weather, droughts, earthquakes, floods, you name it. I mean, what just happened on the East Coast? People were literally swimming around in water. I mean, it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. Thank goodness Florida is now up to its eyeballs in enough water, and the Southwest and the West put out the wildfires out there. We've had plenty of water. But we're constantly seeing weather changes. And that's not the only thing. What about folks, a job loss or unemployment? You see somebody sitting at your desk one day, and he's from, say, Pakistan or India to sit there and do your job. What are you going to do? Economic downturns, which, and Steve, I don't want to go off into that tangent because we've covered that ad nauseum here. We expect this economy and the globalists have to do this to bring down to America so they can restructure it to better form into the global union. How about the next scare on biologicals or chemicals? They've got the quarantine camps all around America. How about contamination of food supplies, transportation breakdowns? You know, Steve, we've all been herded into these cities, and I'll tell you what, I would like my chances if I was a sewer rat in New York City, not a human being, because I would know the way out. But, you know, we're looking at a city 8-9 million people. It's going to be a problem if the infrastructure fractures and things start to go wrong. I mean, this is the grand plan of the United Nations, to herd everybody into cities. Have about 75% of the country mapped out for not even human habitation. These are all things, folks, that have been going on for a number of years. These are the plans. And quite frankly, I'm not, and Steve, and I know what's going to happen. For those that are not prepared out there, natural, we saw this happen in New Orleans. We saw it happen in that area. What happened? Well, people that were even in the better neighborhoods down there that had firearms, well, the feds showed up to do what? Well, confiscate their firearms. Well, you can stay here, I guess, but we got to come in and get your firearms. Well, there is an sundry number of reasons for preparedness and being able to not be connected into that matrix, to step outside of it. And we've asked people, Steve, in the past to try this just for a week. Try living without your refrigerator. Try living without your electricity, and suffice it to say, you won't have your little accoutrements there. You won't have your soap operas because your TV won't be working. You're going to be cut off totally. Try that for a week, and I think you'll start to determine how you're going to have to help yourself, because we're not going to be dependent on government, as you said, and it'd be unfair to be on somebody's doorstep, like your neighbor or a family member. Just wouldn't be fair. So the brightest thing to do, the best thing to do, is to be self-prepared. We'll be right back with Steve Shank.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm. Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
All right, we're back. You may have heard the ads on the network, eFoods Direct. This is a co-op of sorts that they give you the best available, freshest, naturally grown foods out there. Steve, in the in the preparedness business of 98-99, I'd seen just about everything. But you'd been around for a number of years, and you're one of the last Mohicans standing out there simply because, well, you know what you're doing, you know how to do it, and you give the best prices for people out there that are trying to purchase storable foods for any eventuality. Let me ask you this. I mean, a lot of people, they don't understand preparedness. They don't understand storable foods. Give folks a thumbnail sketch, your take on storable foods, why they should have them, and what they should have, and how much of it.
Well, what they have to do is to look at their own situation and evaluate all of this knowledge that you put out over the radio waves and that the people that are aware are letting them know. And they have to basically decide what they want to do. I have people call me all the time that are saying, well, how many years should I put in? I can't tell them, but I can. The average family out of the East, where they've got the Bible Belters that are following the scriptures and also that are politically aware, is putting in about a 3-year supply. The whole idea is that you must put in food like you eat. That one of the things that we put out a real learning about the last little bit was that we had to have people aware that there's a lot of junk left over from Y2K. Some of the retailers that are less than reputable are putting some of the old stuff that's left over in their inventories into cans and selling it for good stuff. And the fact is, it's got 8 or 9 year life on it. What you've got to have is the ability to put in food that's exactly what you're used to eating, that's exactly the most nutritious that you can possibly get. And what we require here at the co-op is we go through the suppliers that we work with. We won't allow them to put any genetically altered stuff in, no Mexican imports. It has to be packed in cans that are made in America. And that's not just patriotic. Some of those foreign cans that are coming in here won't have a shelf life of more than 3 or 4 years. So probably the best bet, if families are not familiar with what to do and how to go about it, is to give us a call and get on the website and let us send them out a packet of general information about what's happening at the supply end of the food chain. And at the same time, we just came up with a recording of one of the seminars that I did up in Idaho, where we talked about what's happening in the country. And if they get the CD from that, they'll have just a tremendous background on what they need to look out for and what they need to put in. But the whole idea is independence. And the reason I wanted you to talk about what you do so well is the fact that the whole objective of the food thing is not the issue of just where the next meal is coming from. Every one of the issues that you brought up, the camps, the quarantine camps, the gun issue, the children in government-run schools, all of these things will be forced by the need for food. If people are not able to take care of themselves, for example, in a quarantine, it was stated that with the bird flu, for example, in 2003, an executive order was signed that indicated that if people were in danger, in other words, if they were suspected of being potentially victims of the bird flu, they would be required to take the inoculations. Now, those inoculations, as we know from some of the scientific studies from our side of the fence, have anywhere between 38 and 52 toxic materials in them, along with the virus that's being supposedly immunized against. And the fact is that if people refuse to take those inoculations, they would be tried and fined and jailed. Now, one of the interesting questions that was raised with that, and you and I have talked about it before, John, is that if they are tried and convicted and put in jail, what happens to your rights as an American citizen, if that's a proper term? It's not a proper term, but anyway. What happens to your rights once you're convicted of a crime? You have none, and then you get the inoculation before you go into the population of the prison. So the only way that people are going to be able to avoid that system, there aren't enough of the authorities to collect the guns, to force everybody into the lines to get the inoculations. But if there is a food shortage, if we are not able to take care of ourselves, if we can't feed ourselves, then one of the stipulations of the last Patriot Act is that in an emergency, if a family is not able to take care of themselves in their own home, then they will be required to go to a gathering center, which logically makes sense because the government and the food support systems can't make house calls even though they've got nothing to sell.
I was just going to say, if you go fishing, you don't throw a hook in the water with no bait on it. You put the bait there, that's the food, and they come to you.
And then we bring up another subject. I'm glad you mentioned the bait issue. We talked about the last time that you and I were talking. The fact is that if you're going to have them come to you for food because there is a shortage out there and people haven't become self-reliant, then you have to have the food. That's why some of the main suppliers...
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
KU Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling. And begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information. Or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Yeah, we got rudely interrupted there by some crass commercialism, so go ahead with what you were saying there, Steve.
Well, the interesting thing that we're dealing with just a second, I'm going to this thing out the door.
It's interesting. Anyway. What was that?
What you were talking about with the fishing hook with no bait on it?
Sure.
During Hurricane Edward, you may be aware of this, one of the major Army-Navy stores out in California, the surplus stores, were contacted by the feds, and they bought something like 70,000 meals ready to eat, these things in a pouch, because right. They didn't have any food in their supplies.
Right.
Right now, there are a couple of the major suppliers that I've worked with over the last 25 years that are being heavily taxed because they are having a lot of their materials and things like that purchased by the government and being brought into storehouses. Now, why are they buying food? Why are some of the states putting in the thyroid blockers for nuclear activities? They're putting in large numbers of them. What do they know? Well, very simply, you can collect the guns to work with the flu virus, the flu vaccine, and all of these things. The means by which families will be able to protect themselves and stay away from this stuff is if they can stay self-reliant, because food will be the magnet that will force people to come into the dragnet. Now, if they don't have any food in their larders, they're going to have a problem with the magnet. So that's why we're seeing huge buying operations around the country where we are having the food bid away from us by government contracts for our own supplies.
And that puts the pricing pressure on the remaining food.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing that you're dealing with is all of this genetically altered garbage that'll make you glow in the dark and walk sideways, and all of the imports as a result of what you mentioned, what was it, the NAFTA and the GATT agreement?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we've got these unilateral agreements where food is being brought in into our grocery stores, and also we've got a situation where the foreign countries, the European blocs and the third world countries, have outlawed the importing of American-grown genetically altered food along with the very stuff that we import to feed our population. They won't buy it. Now, when that economic crash comes, or the one that we're in process of right now, I shouldn't say comes, when the inflation goes nuts and the American dollar loses its value overseas, all of these foreign countries will be coming in here buying foodstuffs. They won't be buying the genetically altered stuff. They won't be buying the Mexican imports. Guess what they're going to be bidding for? The very food that you and I are having dried and put in these stinking little cans so that we can have our independence, we're going to be bidding against, first of all, our own government. We're going to be bidding against foreign nations that have cheap American dollars to spend. So the reason that you and I scream to the high heavens that families need not to wait another 3 months, need not to wait another month, but need to get going at their food supply immediately and follow some of the concepts. Here's one of them. Is it better to have what you don't need or need what you don't have? You mentioned earlier people are worried about maybe putting their resources into something they won't use. Well, the nice thing about food as opposed to insurance is that with insurance you pay the money, and if you don't, you have an accident or don't die, then you lose your money. Well, it was a good bet for insurance. With food, you don't need it for emergency. You just bought your groceries ahead a little bit.
Well, and that's another main reason. I mean, a lot of people were buying whatever they could during 99. And I saw people buying stuff that, well, to be honest with you, I wouldn't eat unless it was an emergency. And the trick of this is to eat, as you said, what you would normally eat.
Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, you hear the concept that where people say, well, if you're hungry enough, you can eat anything. Well, this is spoken by someone who has never been forced to eat anything. And the fact is that one of the things that we've experienced in other countries and in situations where there are disasters is people, when they're under stress, actually need better nutrition to keep their immune systems intact. They need better nutrition to deal with the stress levels that they'll be dealing with and the high physical activity than what they would be able to get by perfectly normally with under normal circumstance. So rather than, you know, buying the cheap stuff that you can put away just so you say you can have something, really what people need to do, if they're wise, is to put in the very best into their storage. Put in food that has better nutrition than what they're willing to live on right now. Do some things that, you know, get into it and study it and get a hold of people that know what's going on. If folks will just look at our website or give us a call at 800-409-5633, we'd love to send them out a packet of information. We'd love to send them out the CD. We don't charge them for that. You got to realize that a co-op operates different than these retailers. The retailers buy it as cheap as they can get it and mark it up as far as they can and put a lot of filler in the unit. What we do is we're trying to get as many people with food out of the warehouses into their homes where they have control of it, because the more people that we have that are self-reliant and aren't dependent and have to go down and stand on those bread lines, the more of us there will be to take back our liberty when the time comes.
I think
this is not short-range thinking, John. It's the future.
Yeah, and the one thing that occurs to me, because you mentioned, you know, contact us, we'll send you out the information packets. What we do not want to have is an emergency arise and then people scrambling. Because, and it happens all, geez, I can't tell you how many times this happens. What's the news stories that you always see, Steve? The lines. What's the first thing that they grab? Well, water and batteries and flashlights and canned goods. Walk into a store after there's a warning of some sort for hurricanes, and you know, it's just madness. The whole thing is elevated to almost the point of craziness. What we're telling people to do: get some information, sit down, go through the information, give this pre-planned thought process, sit down, decide what you need, and then go about in a timely fashion, a relaxed, logical, timely fashion, and make your decisions as to what you're going to do about this. Now, and let me remind people out there, just a couple of thoughts here. You know, if you think, okay, well, I've got canned goods, or I've got this, or I got that, and I can survive. Look, the food that you sell, it's packaged in, what is it, number 10 cans or double enameled. Now, people have always asked me, well, okay, well, if I open up a can of something, how long would it last? Well, if you store it in reasonable temperatures, say about 70 degrees or whatever, you open up a can of something, you provide little plastic lids, you can put the lid back on that thing, and it'll keep for about a year.
Yeah. Well, my favorite answer to that, John, is when people say, well, how long is this going to last? You know, these little old ladies will call and say, well, I'm just one little person, and I couldn't eat a whole gallon of stuff in the next couple of days. How long does it last?
Yeah.
And if I've got a good relationship with them, I say, well, sister, that it rots in 3 days. That's how we get our repeat business. And I laugh, and I tell her, you see, you got to realize, if they'll use those lids on the cans, the suppliers will actually guarantee it a year once it's opened. And the shelf life on this is longer with the seal broken, as most storable stuff is able to last sealed.
And what is the shelf life during normal storage conditions? What is the shelf life of your food?
Well, you got to realize we hold a real close rein on all of the suppliers. We will not accept any food unless they can guarantee it for 12 to 15 years, and it has to be dried from fresh raw, and it has to be packed, like I said earlier, in American-made cans. And the whole idea behind this is so that people literally in their food supply have better food than they're eating right now. And so what we have to do is the problem that people have, and I can feel for them, no one has ever faced what we're going to be facing here in the next 3 to 5 years. No one in the world, let alone in this country, has ever faced what we're going to be facing. And it's really difficult when you wake up in the morning and it's a beautiful sunny day and the birds are singing and life is going on as normal, to sit there and think, well, all of this could instantly stop, you know. But one of these days, it's going to be the day just before it happens. And any of the political restructuring of countries, which is what we're going through right now, you never have a warning when the big adjustments are made. Because if you had a warning, there'd be an outcry and a resistance. Because there will be one day when it's just the day before the disaster strikes or when the martial law is declared, and no one will be expecting it. So the only thing that we can do is to know that it is coming. It's not a matter of whether, it's just a matter of when. And if you know that, which we all know, then the wise thing to do, the prudent thing to do, is to sit down and say, okay, how long do I want to maintain my independence? How long do I want to stay out of the breadline? What about my grandkids? What about my kids? What about that younger generation that thinks all of us old fogies are half a bubble off with one oar in the water because we're worried about things like that? What we need to draw from is the generation just before you and me, John, the generation of our parents, maybe even our grandparents, that lived through a couple depressions that came over from the old country where they went through the terrible inflation. We need to draw from their knowledge and their concerns and their prudence and say, what would they do? And the answer would come back, the old timers always had a strong supply, more than a year if they could get it. Now we've got the technology to be able to store food for 12 to 15 years. We can put in a 4 or 5 year supply if we choose to. But the families have to make it a deep concern. Do you realize that I'll guarantee you, just as sure as I'm sitting here looking ugly, that there are more of those Christian families out there that pray harder, get down on their knees and trouble over the next house they're going to buy a heck of a lot more than they ever worry about or pray about or get counsel from their spiritual guidance over how they're going to survive the 3 years that it's going to take to get through the mark and the various other things that the Christians have known for years that they've had coming. So you got to look at the priorities. People are more concerned about, you know, affording the car that they can't quite afford than they are about sitting down and saying, hey, listen, it's our lives we're dealing with. It's our freedom we're dealing with.
That's right.
Food will mean the ability to maintain our liberty, our freedom, our ability not to have to stand on that bread line and get that shot, not to have to stand on that bread line to give up our guns, not to have to stand on that bread line and give up our kids to the government-run schools where they're called alternative lifestyles. You know, it's all about food, and I know it sounds self-serving, but you got to realize we're not retailers. We're a co-op. We're here to help you guys do what you need to do so we can all stay as free as possible and maintain that liberty and literally our lives.
That's why you're here, Mr. Shank. That's exactly why you're here, because you give a damn, just as I do, just as many people that listen to this network do, and they're all looking for solutions. And the last thing that we want is that panic. Now, I wanted to go back to what I was saying a little bit earlier, that people that think that they know, I like people that think that they know, but when it comes time, they find out they don't know squat. Now,
yeah.
Now just for instance, if you folks out there think, well, I do canning, and that's become a lost art, that's a good thing to do, but most stuff that you put up, preserves and whatever, what's the average shelf life on something like that?
Well, there are two shelf lives. One is the one where you have nutrition. And canned goods that you cook at home or that you get in the grocery store has lost about 35 to 40% of its nutrition just in the processing. It's enzyme dead, which means you can't digest it. But other than that, the second shelf life is the one where it rots or spoils. One of the problems with home canning is that botulism is a very real threat and people don't realize it. But if you go more than a year, and I know everybody's got a little old grandma that says, I've had that stuff down in the basement for 5 years, and it's still good. It may not be spoiled, but it's not good. Canned food is usage, not storage. And you just can't depend on it.
And I just want to point something out to people. If you buy the type of food that we're talking about here from eFoods Direct, a year's supply for two adults will take up the space of about an average refrigerator.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking about, well, I'll just get canned goods and I'll put up my own stuff and this, that, and the other, and if you're going to put up, you think you're going to put up enough food for 1 year for two adults, it takes up about half the size of an average-sized basement.
Yep, exactly.
And you're going to be stumbling and fumbling all over all that stuff, and as you said, the nutrition is not going to be there. I mean,
now here's the answer to that I hear, John. The answer to the canned goods is what they call rotation. In other words, you eat the oldest stuff first, and then you replenish at the front of the line the newer stuff, and so you're always eating the older stuff first. Let's pretend that somebody, now I've never in 25 years ever seen anybody that could rotate canned goods for more than about 3 months worth of food. But let's pretend that somebody had a full year's supply of canned food in. In order to keep it from losing it, and in order to keep it rotated, That means that every single meal, if they had a full year supply, that means they've got enough food for a year, would have to be one-year-old canned goods, because as you move forward through it, the new canned goods that you're eating this week is going to be a year old this week, and you're eating nothing but canned food, and you're eating year-old canned food at that. That means high-grade dysentery and scurvy. It's impossible to rotate. Now, we beat this horse to death. Please, folks, if you have any questions about that canned goods, about going down and buying a few extra cans at the store and rotating and things, please give us a call. We're going to save your life, because we will give you every understanding that you need that says, do not do that. Use the canned food that you use normally, and then when it comes to your storage, you must put in food that has long-term capability, that has the maximum nutrition possible. It's a have to. It's a life and death issue right now.
Let's go to a caller in Colorado. He's got a question for you. Bob in Colorado. Hello, Bob.
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good program, but I just called in to see if you have heard about Bruno Schmidt.
I don't even know who Bruno Schmidt is.
Well, he has a book out on the NAIS, and he has the computer freetofarm.com. And I listened to him a day or two ago, and he's well up on that, and it's got some real good information for people, all people, pertaining to the NAIS. And that's all I got, John.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
Thank you, and have a nice day, all of you.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
Yeah. Here's the problem, I think, that is going on here. We have dwindling resources, Steve. We have people that are trying to budget. They're doing this with a dollar that's not worth anything. They're desperately trying to make ends meet. And the last thing that they have on their mind is storable foods.
I know.
They're more concerned about, well, am I going to be able to make the mortgage payment this month and the car payment? Am I going to be able to take my vacation this year? You know, how about Christmas? Am I going to have enough gifts for the in-laws and the outlaws and everybody else? They're still in the matrix. They are still trying to survive within that dwindling resource matrix, and they are not considering what happens when the doggone thing blows apart and they recognize nothing anymore. All the ways that they used to operate, going to the store, doing this, doing that, all that goes out the window. They don't have a clue. I wish there was a way that we could, send them out information. They could plug it right into their brain, and it would be part of their memory storage. But that's not the case. This is one area. And all you have to do, Steve, we have history buffs out there. All you have to do is take a look at what has transpired around the world repeatedly, time after time after time after time. Death, destruction, starvation, disease, you name it. What we have are millions of people running around not knowing what to do to survive. I don't want to go into the more macabre stories about eating other people to survive and all that other stuff. It's all been done. And we have the luxury of looking back on history and for a few lousy bucks putting something in that's literally going to save your life. And it doesn't have to be blah, it doesn't have to be bland, it's not eating sawdust here, okay? It's not taking supplemental vitamins and food that just fills your belly and doesn't give you any nutritional value. We're talking about a very sane and protracted program here to save your life. And we're not talking about you have to drop 10 grand to do it. I mean, it's not going to put a dent that much into your financial budgets in order to do something that's going to save your life. I don't care if it happens 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, or 10 years from now.
If it's done right, it's going to cost about 40% less than what you spend on groceries for a year. And so that's an interesting concept. Now, let's go back to what you were talking about with the families that are so caught up in the matrix. Why is it that when you look at all of the communist bloc countries, everyone is in poverty? They're always the men are working in the factory so that they can shove the money through the chain link fence to their wives who are standing in the grocery store lines all day long as their men are working, and they can buy that much food that day. The reason for this constant poverty is that the people in a nation are kept in such destitute circumstances that the only thing they can think of is survival. They are not going to resist. They are not going to rebel. In these foreign countries, they've been able to do it by controlling the food mechanism, by keeping everybody in an economic structure where they are working for 18 hours a day just to provide that day's food, and those people are controlled. They've done it differently here. We've been a very prosperous nation. They've done it through debt. They have our population in exactly the same type of bondage where they're struggling from one day to the next, and that is why they can't stop to think about the very issue that you raised just a minute ago, John, the fact that they need to consider what can happen and put a few dollars aside and get themselves prepared. Because right now, we have mothers working that should be home.
That's right.
We have fathers working long hours instead, and we have latchkey children that are getting into drugs and all sorts of things because the parents are so deeply committed to survival. And yes, it's not the kind of survival that says we have to come up with the next loaf of bread. It's the kind of survival that you wake up puking sick one morning and you don't dare stay home from work for one day because somebody else might come in and take your job. Or if you miss one day's pay, you won't be able to make the ridiculous house payment that you talked yourself into making.
With the adjustable-rate mortgage? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing. I wanted to bring this up somewhere in the body of this program that I've been reading a lot in the last couple of days. There are warning bells going off all over the place. In the next couple of years, you're going to see millions of Americans losing their homes. Losing.
Oh, absolutely.
Losing them. They're on these adjustable rate mortgages. And even if they are on a fixed mortgage, that's no guarantee you're going to be able to even hold on to your house because how you used to make your money may not be there. And Steve, I can't emphasize enough what we're talking about. We're still dealing with the people in that matrix that they can still go out on Friday nights down to Texas Roadhouse and have a good dinner and go see a movie. And, well, the wife goes to the grocery store every week. Yeah, we're behind in the bills. Credit cards are racked up a little bit, but, you know, we're still making it. You're virtually on the edge of non-existence in that matrix right now. Folks, do you realize that? What we're talking about here is a sound, reason, non-panicked approach to your survival, okay? Tell you what, Steve, hang on here a second. I want to take some calls on the other side. I was only going to have you on for an hour, but there's a bunch of points yet that we have not hit. So hang on there. Folks, we'll take your calls after this break. Carol, Liz, and others, just hang on. We'll get to all of your calls here on the National Intel Report with my guest today, Steve Shank from the J. Michael Stevens Group. The website is efoodsdirect.com, and your phone number, Steve?
800-409-5633.
We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.